Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and with me today again for another wonderful episode of the Big Three is none other than the Jessica Baker. Welcome, Jessica Baker.
Hello. I really hope the episode is wonderful now, Matt, because you said it's going to be wonderful.
I've got high expectations, my friend.
Yeah, always.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Listen, just to shoot the breeze a little bit, because I know everyone loves it when we just go completely off topic.
Just a bit of banter, just a bit of pre-show banter.
Hitting 70% next Monday is what we're told, 11th of October.
The 11th.
You know, the light is at the end of the tunnel. We're getting there.
Well,
it's not December 1st, like that's Freedom Day, but, you know, it's a taste of. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited for?
Look, what aren't I most excited for? I have my hair appointment booked in, ready to go. I've got dinner at your house, Matt Willis.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
We've got that locked in, all ready to go. All very legal, which I'm excited for.
Yes, yeah. Capping it at the five visitors.
What else have I got? I've got a huge shopping list. Like, it's out of control.
Like, of non-essential
items.
And
I just keep adding to it. Yeah, like a new lounge. And, I want to go shopping for a new fridge. Like, it's out of control. And my husband's just seeing it get longer and longer and longer because I've just spent so long in lockdown not perusing the shops.
And obviously, and you're stuck in your house. So all of a sudden you're like, hey, that fridge, which is functioning just perfectly.
Oh, it keeps everything cold
It's old now. Mm. And I've looked at it for however many days we've been in lockdown and I need something
new. Who doesn't
new.
Want a water dispenser in their fridge, you know? I need one of those. Matt.
I'm pretty sure we've spoken about consumerism a number of times on this podcast.
I hear what you're saying.
Pretty sure it's not a good thing.
I hear what you're saying, yes. And part of me dislikes myself, but another part of me needs a bit of retail therapy right now, okay? So
just
that's
to
what's
heal
happening.
Coming out
and
of
And I think
lockdown.
On the 11th, I will be going to the Homemaker Centre at Tarrant Point, so I'll see you guys there. Just for a bit of a shopping spree. Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know, actually. I've not really considered it. I don't think I've really allowed myself to hope.
To dream.
And to dream. But listen, doesn't happen on the 11th, but school will be going back for my son the week after.
Oh, bless him.
Super excited. He does. Yeah. He, you know, I've created a clone of myself. And so he's just a raging extrovert, just like his father. Yeah. And he struggled real hardcore not seeing all his besties. He gets on like, you know, FaceTime with them and he's like, hey, mate, like this little 7-year-old being like, hey, mate, with his little bestie. It's wonderful. So anyway, I'm really excited for him to go back. And I think we're also just excited because, I mean, we love our family. Mm. But, you know,
some space.
Absence makes the heart grow And so excited to just have a little bit of space.
Yes, that's for sure. There's no shame in
no
that.
No shame in that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can picture, you know, a little boy frolicking in the playground.
He will frolic.
The frolicking.
Again, similar to me, he will frolic.
Like I will be doing at the Homemaker Centre. A similar frolic.
Well, it's exciting times. Exciting times.
Such exciting times.
Well, in a moment, we're going to be joined by Roxanne Lawler, who preached during our online services this past Sunday. And Jess and I will be putting the big three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. Now, for those of you who missed it, Roxy continued in our series, Lives Changed by Jesus, looking at 10 stories from the New Testament of people's encounter with Jesus. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC sermon podcast. But for now, Jess, I'm interested to hear your reflections on Roxy's message. But just before we get into that, I'm just going to put a little bit of a disclaimer on this episode of The Big Three.
Uh-huh.
The GBC facility is currently getting some roof repairs.
Very exciting.
Directly above where we are sitting right now.
Perfect.
So for those of you listening at home, if you just hear loud bangs and crashes, we're fine. Everything's good. We're safe.
I hope we're safe.
It's just some peeps up on the roof directly above us. And just to make it better, it's a metal roof, so it's super noisy.
Oh,
so,
beautiful.
But we're just going to own that. Back to discussion at hand, your reflections on Roxy's message.
Yeah, I think this passage is so like, it's a big one in the Bible and Jesus is kind of wild in it. And that he just throws a complete curveball to this paralyzed guy. I love a good breakdown of this passage and kind of seeing it from the point of view of, you know, who are you in this story or who do you kind of resonate with or I really liked.
Right on.
What about
it
you?
Is a bit of a, like, it's a classic gospel story, isn't it? Like, not everyone, but, like, most people who have kind of spent some time in scriptures would know about the paralyzed man who's lowered through the roof. I think the thing that I love about returning to passages like this is that there's always still something new to learn.
Yeah.
And we'll be getting into it as we kind of talk more of the big three questions. But like Rox had some awesome points kind of coming from the different perspectives of all the people who were in that story. So I really loved it. I mean, I love a good story time, and
yeah, Rox and
is
she
a great
really
story
brought
teller.
It alive. They're like, I'd never thought about, you know, the debris and the dust and the dirt falling on the people. I was like, oh yeah, that's annoying.
I just want to apologize though to all the youth and young adults who got like publicly shamed because Rox did say, listen, if anyone's going to make a hole in a roof, it'll be them.
The adolescents.
Constantly breaking things.
Is she wrong?
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. It wouldn't be a bunch of 45-year-old dads up on the roof.
No, they're the ones we call to get it fixed.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad, I've just made a hole in a roof. Can you come fix it?
Can you come fix it? So true. Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Jess, what are our big three for today?
So question one, how do we address our sin without being consumed by the guilt and shame of it?
Yeah, boom. That classic. One's just a light question to get us started today.
Really resonates. Question two, how do we identify the new growth that Jesus is cultivating in our own life? Very nice. And question three, how do we live out our faith in a way that impacts other people's faith journey?
Yeah. That's a huge one because like Jesus sees the mate's faith, not the paralyzed guy. Mm-hmm. That always, I'm baffled.
I mean, the paralyzed guy had no say in what was occurring, did he?
He just got taken where he was going.
Away, so.
Well, before we go any further on that track of thought, there's only one thing missing, and that is Roxanne Lawler herself. Welcome, Roxy, to the Big Three.
Oh, hello, hello, friends. How are we?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Ages since we've had you on the Big Three. How are you going?
I'm going good. Going good. Looking forward to the end of lockdown myself.
Now, Rox, a big part of your message, you asked the question both at the beginning and at the end and kind of flesh it out a little bit more at the end, was this whole where do you see yourself in this story? So just to get us started, a little quick response, where do you see yourself in this story?
Ooh,
Who are you?
Do you want a fun one or a serious one?
Oh, listen, let's not get too serious.
Okay,
we'll
have fun. Yeah. All right, is it my house?
Yes, it is.
Because seriously, I do need a new roof. Like, I'm so jealous of the church getting a new roof. Like, my roof is a shambles, honestly.
If someone wants could come over and...
Yeah, if I get some young adults to come and punch a hole through it, they'll be like, oh, well, I got to get a new one now.
Is that covered on insurance?
Yeah,
group of adolescents tearing up.
Maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
True news.
Yeah, that's probably me. It's probably my roof, I think.
It's a distressing day for you.
Yeah, I was like preaching.
But also, Jesus is at your house.
Hello.
And not only at your house, but your house is the HQ for Jesus.
Jesus HQ.
Ministry.
Oh, that is a good thing.
Like,
that
you've
is
definitely
a good thing.
Won there.
But like, really, if you're a Christian, Jesus is HQ. You know, you are Jesus HQ. Yeah. Everyone is. Jesus.
Okay, very good.
Oh, she got the deep in there.
Yeah, she got
the deep in there.
Can't stick on the fun. For too long.
No,
Gotta get real. I love it. Well, let's get into the big three.
For sure.
So, Rox, the paralyzed man comes to Jesus on this mat, and instead of seeing his very obvious problem, it probably in that day and age of being paralyzed, you're not heaps useful to society back then, he kind of chooses to ignore that at first and addresses his sin. And this is kind of a huge thing for Christians, and we can definitely get kind of bogged down in that, seeing our sin as kind of our biggest thing. So how do we address our sin without being consumed by the guilt and shame of it? Where's that balance?
Oh, yeah, that's a good balance, isn't it? Because and so much of this, I think, is about your upbringing and what you read the Bible and your perspective, and a little bit too about your personality. Like, I think personality has a role to play in this, and you know, what has formed and shaped you across the years as a believer. From a purely spiritual level, like, I actually think a little bit of, this sounds terrible, but a little bit of guilt and shame is actually all right. Like, a little bit, like, depends on what your definition of little. A sprinkling. Well, I think Christianity has always been a confessing faith. You know, it's always been a confessing faith that we say, you know, actually we do need to come face to face with the reality of our guilt and our sin and our shame, and to realize that this is, you know, this is who we are. You know, like, we are You know, sinners who need a saviour. We are those who are, you know, lost who need to be found. You know, we are people who cannot do anything for ourselves. You know, we are paralysed, to use the story, paralysed in our sin, our shame, and we don't like to admit that. Like modern people, we do not like to think that we are in that boat, like that's our reality and our situation. But I think Jesus sees it really clearly here. And so for Jesus, this was it, right? This was the most important thing. You know, the fact that he couldn't walk was, you know, like that was secondary to what the real problem was, which is where are you actually going to spend your eternity? Where are you going to be in this life? You know, Jesus wants to, you know, save you and find you and bless you and love you and bring you up out of this place that you're at spiritually. So for Jesus, that's kind of that's the main game. That's why he came.
And I love the fact that, like, it's like Jesus just goes straight in for it.
Yeah.
Like he's just like, all right, we're just going to talk about
here's the diagnosis.
In the room, the hole in the roof, so to speak. You know, and yet, you know, my experience of a faith community is that we're not as direct about sin.
Yeah, we tend to sort of tiptoe around it, don't we?
It becomes this very awkward, almost taboo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's, you know, and we've talked on the Big Three before about, you know, faith, like private faith and public faith. And I feel like when it comes to sin, it's like, well, that's my private.
Yeah, yeah. You don't actually have a right to ask me or question me. Or
we all know that we're all sinful.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And we don't share about what that looks like specifically for us in our lives. And yet, the example that we see in Jesus is he meets this bloke and the first thing he says is, we're going to talk about your sin, bud. Real talk.
Confronting.
it is. And like, how do we not be consumed by the guilt and shame? Well, consumed is like a word which means it's almost to wipe you out, to get rid of, you know, you in that guilt and shame where you're so overwhelmed by guilt and shame. And I don't think that is what Jesus wants for us. So, which is kind of what I was thinking about your background and your personality, because some of us can tend to get bogged into that and stay there. Mm. And that is so not God's intention.
Yeah.
I think we need to confront our sin and our guilt, our shame and the reality, look in the mirror and go, actually, you know what, I really do need Jesus and he's telling me I need him, so that's okay. But if we just camp out there and live there, like, what's that? That's not what God wants for us. You know, like, that's not why he came. He came to deal with it, not to beat us around the head with our guilt and shame. He came to remove it, but, you know, just that we can't remove it ourselves. But that's why Jesus came, right?
Yeah, and I think that can be a very confronting reality of sin because, like you were talking about, Rox, how sin as it was perceived back then was that this man's paralysis would have been viewed as the result of sin either in his life or in his family's life. Like it was this generational, like you inherit it, right? Whereas Jesus saw sin for what it is, which is this systemic sin, you know, it's the result of just the brokenness in our world.
Yeah.
We live in it. We live within it, you know.
Yeah, we're swimming in it. Like there's no escape.
And there is no escape.
Yeah.
And we need Jesus. Like he's the only life raft, to take a very cliched illustration.
Yeah,
It works. but I think that can be confronting because then it's this whole idea of, well, really, like I don't have the control to remove sin from my life. Which then, you know, I think can play into this whole sense of it becomes overwhelming because then how do I address sin if I actually don't have the ability to
address sin?
To address sin.
You can't. Yeah. I think
that's the Christian message. We are.
You can't. Well, I think you can't address sin. I mean, you can try and live a better way, but ultimately that's why Jesus came, you know, like, you know, Philippians 2 talks about that's why Jesus is here, right? He came, he gave up everything, gave up all his glory and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, right?
Yeah.
This is mission critical for Jesus. He recognizes that, you can't do anything about it, but I love you and I'm not going to leave you swimming in it. I'm not going to leave you stuck in that space. I'm going to save you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to be your life raft. I'm going to clean you up, you know, wash you clean. You know, I'm the rock that's higher than you are. And so therefore he does, you have that lives changed by Jesus moment where you're exchanging your sin for his righteousness. You know, you are going from being paralyzed in it to skipping out of the room, jumping up and down, you know, like that's the moment. And that's why Jesus came. So I think if we are consumed by the guilt and shame of it, then maybe we need a fresher or a better understanding of the love of Jesus, about the, you know, like this is why he came, man. He came because he loves you so much. He was not willing to let you be in this. So he stepped into that and hoisted you out of it. And now, you know, you have the righteousness of Christ on you. You belong to him, and you are no longer paralyzed by this, but you are free because of what he's done. So live on, skip on, joy on, you know, like live this new changed life.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think that for, like, if we focus on the freedom that we experience from sin, rather than, I guess, our lack of control of sin, I think that's where we're able to kind of maybe start to facilitate a culture where we do address sin a little bit more openly and a little bit more vulnerably and truthfully with those that we are doing life with.
Yeah.
Now, like, I'm not calling for, like, okay, so at the end of the service today, everyone's
going to confess everything. That's not it. No, we just had a series about this. Like, we literally just did. You and the few.
Not today. Yes.
Yeah. It's you and the few.
It's bringing those people in. It's, it's that transparent context, those trusted people that you know you and value you and will support you, but also challenge you in that space as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if, like, I guess to go to the question, how do we address sin? I think one of the things is that you can't address it by yourself. Yes, you need Jesus, but I think we also need other people in that space as well. And when we kind of come to sin of, okay, I want to kind of cast my eye on the freedom that I experience through Jesus, what Jesus has done, that's not to say that we can just turn around and be like, oh, well, it doesn't matter that sin is in my life. But I think that removes that, the guilt and shame to the degree where we feel bogged, where we feel overwhelmed, where we feel consumed by it.
Yeah.
And then we're in a position of freedom to actually start looking at our lives and taking that, like you said, and, you know, okay, this is not the way I'm being called to live, and asking those questions and, okay, how am I going to go about doing this? Well, what would Jesus say? What do my friends kind of say in their understanding of scripture? All that kind of stuff. It opens it up for like real conversation that can be transformative. And I mean, this whole series is Lives Changed by Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you start to experience a life changed by Jesus, is actually addressing your sin through Jesus. Not yourself.
Yeah, yeah. He's the lens through which you need to look. He's the reality that you need to take on. Because our reality, often, you know, if we're in sin, even our perception of sin is influenced by sin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
we need to look at, you know, Jesus, who is above all, who sees clearer than we do.
And that can be freeing, but that can also be confronting as well. Because I think, you know, humans, we're great at creating a hierarchy of sin, right? Nothing in scripture says that we should be doing that. And yet we do.
Oh my gosh. And we can easily rationalize and excuse our own sin while looking at other people's and judging that on a much harsher scale. Yeah. You know, we do that all the time.
So where there's a freedom of, okay, like, I'm not a slave to sin as much as maybe I thought I was.
Yeah.
There's also a challenge where it's like, oh, okay, so I need to work on that.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah. And the classic thing is if it's guilt and shame and you are being condemned by your sin, that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit either. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to convict us and to point out sin and to show us, you know, here are the areas that you got, you know, this, and kind of, you know the areas, right?
you know that we know.
Well, we all know our own, you know, areas that we need to improve on. Like, we just do. Because, you know, if you're in Jesus, you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God in you. And the Holy Spirit is the gentle voice. And the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you off. You know, the Holy Spirit actually speaks words of kindness and grace and points out things and convicts you, but it doesn't condemn. If you're listening to condemnation, then that's not of God. God's not going to, you know, that's just not the way God operates. I mean, God is tough and fair, but he's not cruel. And that's the voice of the enemy, and probably our own voice as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes we you know, we are our own problem.
Yeah.
And we need to even redeem that voice in ourselves, you know, and allow that and say, you know, Jesus, I'm really hard on myself in this. Can you help me to actually, you know, listen to your voice and rely on your, you know, your perspective of my sin?
I think just on that, that reminded me, I'm not going to be able to paraphrase it. Like, I'm not going to be able to remember it. So I'm just going to paraphrase it. But that whole idea that conviction is the calling into something greater, whereas condemnation is telling you that
You're doing it wrong, and you can never change.
Yeah.
And we know that lives changed by Jesus is for everyone, right? Mm. It's not just that conversion moment of, a sinner to a Christian or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's then you're actually done. And then you're done, set and forget.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh, there we go. But no, it's not that, is it? It's this, the long, walk towards obedience.
Yeah. And a constant conviction to experience that transformation.
Yeah.
To walk into that life that we're called to live in.
It's good.
Right on. Delight. Let's move on to question two. So, Rox, a big part of your message was kind of looking at the different people in the story and kind of what they, I guess, the invitation that they represent for each and every one of us. And obviously you can't read this story and not look at the paralyzed man and what we're being invited to in there. And you were talking about how from that perspective, you know, Jesus has a different diagnosis of what's kind of going on in our lives. He's got something different to say to what we're being told about who we are and what we're doing potentially wrong, and that there's actually Jesus is like there's new growth in that space, and that we need to open ourselves up to that new growth. So how do we go about identifying the new growth that Jesus is cultivating in our own life?
Ooh, that's a good question, Matt.
Yes, I think so.
That's a very good one. I think a good another way you can see the in that story is the scribes, like the lawyers, who are the ones who, you know, they knew the law. They kind of thought they knew everything. And then Jesus comes along and just kind of blows up their little world by, you know, saying that really, like saying that he's God and saying that he can forgive sins. Mm. You know, who is he, this miracle worker, this itinerant preacher, to say such a thing? And I think they're a good example of how Jesus sometimes blows up our estimations and what we think.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of just tends to blow things up every now and then and
bless him.
And we have to have this whole, growth mindset, to use a current term, about what God is doing in our lives. I think how do we identify it? I think any new growth is uncomfortable. Like it sucks, man. New growth, like learning something new. Oh man, it's a hard thing.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable, and we have to, both rationalize that, okay, well, you know, here's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know and I don't know how to live out. And gee, I thought I'd come so far, but really I haven't come far at all. And we have to check our hearts in this too. Like if Jesus is growing us, I think one of the key things that we can sometimes do is to think it's all about us and it's all about our knowledge.
Yeah.
Like there's a great scripture that talks about knowledge puffs up, you know, but faith builds up. And I think if we check our heart, how do we know it's Jesus changing it? Well, is our heart being shifted and changed? Mm. You know, how are we growing in our love for others, our mercy? Mm. Are we growing in our patience, our self-control? Like these are the things. It's not just about what I know and the information that I can sprout out and show how learned I am. Like if Jesus is changing us, he changes our hearts and it's something that you can almost feel or see in somebody's relationships, the way that they're more compassionate or they're more just in tune with others and caring for others. So for me, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not a comfortable space, growth. Mm-hmm. It's a growing pain. There's some risks. And for me, I think, well, what's going on in my heart? You know, if Jesus is shifting and changing me, I need to. And if something's not changing in my heart, it's just changing in my head, then I need to be asking God and going, God, you know, this is great, but you need to be changing my heart, Lord.
Yeah.
You need to be making me more like you. in my love for others, in the way I live my life, in my patience, et cetera. So I think that's a good way for us to start to identify it. I guess too, like Eugene Patterson has a great expression. He talks about it. So we're basically the Christian journey is a long walk, I think he says, in the direction of obedience, or it's a long walk towards obedience.
Yeah.
And so for us to be changed and shifted and growing, like we're walking towards obedience. Mm. We're walking towards maturity. That's what discipleship is this slow one foot in front of another.
Yeah.
Just keep going, just persevere, you know, like Paul says, it's like a race, you know, we just Jesus is at the end and we're just walking towards him. And sometimes we can veer off track, you know, because we sort of walk towards ourselves more. Mm. But, you know, for me, is it painful and uncomfortable? That's okay. Mm. And are you walking towards Jesus? Great. And is he actually changing your heart?
Mm.
That's a good indicator to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. So.
Yeah, I love that distinction between are you just learning things and getting that head knowledge, or are you seeing it like live out in your life and changing the way you, you know, see the world and treat others? Because I think a lot of the time we can get, you know, caught up in, oh, look, I've read my Bible a couple of times tick. And I know a little bit more, or I dissected that Bible story, so I'm on point.
But I can say a word in the original Greek.
But is it actually being shown and lived out in
and
your life?
There's seriously nothing wrong with that. Like, that's great. You know, if you can say the word in the original Greek and you've done your Bible study, great, fantastic. But if that's all it is, then I think you've got to be sort of saying, okay, God, you know what, I need you to shift and change my heart. Because no one ever got changed by information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not where transformation starts. You know, not no one. I'm sure there are people that can change by information. But generally speaking, you know, if we want people to see Jesus and to, you know, be face-to-face with him, that's not going to happen from just an information, oh, let me tell you all these things about Jesus.
Mm.
It's going to be, let me show you Jesus. Let me live this out. Let me just be living, breathing, you know. Let it come from my heart so you can see Jesus in me. That's, I think, the thing that's going to help people meet him.
And I think that like discomfort and that risk that is required to being open to new growth, like you said, we're all walking towards Jesus, which means we're all walking into the unknown. Mm. We should all be walking into risk and discomfort.
Yeah.
But too often we have the mentality of when we find an area, you know, when we find a space that we're comfortable with, we set up camp. Like, you know, I know enough, or I'm involved enough, or I do enough and I'm happy with this. And in some ways that's helpful. That's, you know, that's good. But in other ways it's, you know, we need to be asking ourselves, well, actually, is there anything in my spiritual practice, in my Christian routine of things, that is making me uncomfortable? Because I think when the answer is no, that's when you need to start asking questions around, okay, well, then maybe what needs to shift? Where do I need to start moving again? Because again, and we've talked about this a couple of times on Big Three, sometimes we take that as this overall project and we're like, well, I need to move my entire life, my entire spiritual experience, my entire faith, which is, you know, the foundation that we live on and the core of our beings, and we've got to move it all forward. And sometimes it's just a simple matter of kind of going, okay, like maybe I'm a little bit too comfortable with just reading my Bible from a head perspective.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to try some new ways of reading the Bible to kind of engage my heart a little bit more so that it's not just what I'm comfortable with. And it's just those small movements that I think are those steps towards Jesus. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I've just got Chariots of Fire in my head now.
In slow-mo. Yeah, that's it. That's so beautiful.
You're welcome.
All I have in my head when you talk about a marathon analogy is like, you know the people at the end who get the like mad wobbles and their body just like malfunctions. So when you're like, sometimes we veer off track, I just pictured myself doing like the wobbles. Sometimes we just cark it halfway through the race.
Water, please, water.
And they like crawl to the finish line. Gosh, it's sad.
Yeah.
Let's be real though. That's everyone. We're all that person. We're all doing that.
For sure.
That's good.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it's like a newer thing. I can imagine back in the day, you know, my grandparents, they're pretty comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, you know, going through world wars and things. Our pandemic, we just sat on the lounge for a couple of months and it's really upset
Netflix
us.
Binged.
And we also like any negative emotions, we really try and avoid and just ignore. And obviously that makes it a whole lot worse. Mm. And so I think we've hit the nail on the head for a lot of people of the reluctance to like to move forward in their faith is that it is uncomfortable and we just don't like that. We're not good at that. Yeah. I don't know whether that's a millennial thing or like just an everybody now thing, but yeah, I'm not into it. Mm. But that's a challenge to us.
There you go.
Yeah. No, it's true, isn't it? And but there's a type of uncomfort, you know, like it's a growing pain. It's not just uncomfort for the sake of uncomfort. I mean, you're a midwife, you know all about, you know, like it's pretty uncomfortable when you give birth, right?
Yeah.
But like at the end, happy
Ken
days.
Confirm.
Yeah. Kent Matt's backing us up there. You know, you can, you're going through something which is, you know, pretty ordinary. But you get this child at the end. And so that's the sort of thing, you know, there's actually a reason behind being uncomfortable, being stretched and tested and trying and it builds your faith, you know, like these little moments where you read the Bible a little bit differently, not, as you said, you're not up reading your whole faith and your whole life and, you know, being completely different overnight. You're just trying different things. You know, you just try those little things and, yeah, it's a bit tricky and it's a bit hard and it takes time, it takes patience, it takes dedication and commitment. Mm. But at the end, you're going to get a blessing out of it and it builds your faith as well in the process because you're like, wow, look at this. You know, like I stepped out and God met me there.
Mm.
And I had this great experience with God and I, you know, I learned something new and I, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit impact me. So it's good.
Yeah.
And it's okay that it's not, that it's uncomfortable, but it's uncomfortable with purpose.
That illustration has given me a whole new understanding of the whole new birth that we have in Jesus now though. So, you know, let's just wrap it up there.
Before we get too
crazy. Let's move on to question three.
So as Christians, our kind of purpose is to spread the gospel and get involved in the mission of Jesus. And this is, I feel like, near and dear to all of our hearts. It's exactly what we want to do. And we see these four guys lowering their mate down through the roof, and that would have made an impact on people, their faith in Jesus, and they're kind of really bold, you know, coming up to him and knowing that he will heal their friend. Yeah, that would have made a huge impact for the people in that house. So how do we live out our faith in a way that impacts other people's faith journey?
How do we live out our faith in a way that impacts other people's faith journey? Well, when we had the message, we asked people to identify who they kind of saw themselves as in the story. So are you the paralyzed guy, are you the scribes, or are you like one of the four guys that sort of had the mattress and we're dragging
the youths.
The youths, young adults.
Vandalizing the house.
Love it, love
Jesus's
it.
Jesus' headquarters. Like
Jesus HQ.
The audacity.
So true. So I think for us, I think we kind of can see that there's probably people that we want to bring before Jesus, you know, that we really do. But how do we bring them before Jesus? You know, what's that look like? I mean, obviously we can't like physically drag them into a church building or, you know,
it's probably begging.
Yeah, it's probably, especially with the pandemic on, but, or, you know, drag them in front of, you know, like, right, I'm coming around and we're going to watch church online.
Mm.
But we can live out our faith in lots of ways. And I think one of the key ways that we can currently bring people to Jesus is through prayer. Like we can drag our friends metaphorically into the presence of God through prayer and we can intercede for our friends.
Mm.
And sometimes I wonder if we go, if we really understand the power of prayer and the significance that it has. And I know there's people who are gifted at prayer and it's a whole gifting and you know, there are people who are definite intercessors.
Mm.
And but for me, an intercessor is somebody who carries somebody into the presence of God and just pleads on their behalf and just pleads with God and takes it seriously. And I would love it if people sort of have one of those growth experiences that we're talking about. And maybe this is your growth challenge, right? This is your uncomfortable space, is instead of, you know, coming to God with like a shopping list, oh, dear God, you know, what about this? I pray about that, you know, that we actually, you know, even get on our knees before God, like as a posture, old school, you know, I used to kneel in church back in the day. Mm-hmm. But even to do that, you know, go in your room, shut your door, like put out your hands, get down on your knees and just literally bring that person, you know, imagine you're carrying them before God and pray to God, you know, God, speak to them, bless them, talk to them, you know, help me, you know, find a way. Because I actually really think that there's so much power in prayer. Mm. And I wonder if we're kind of utilizing this gift to the best of our abilities as Christians. You know, like we literally have, we can approach the throne of God with confidence, says the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I would love to see our church really step into that and like really approach the throne of God with confidence that we can literally talk to the creator of the universe. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is no problem that he cannot solve. Yeah. And for some reasons he doesn't. He doesn't sometimes heal people and he doesn't save people. And there is, you know, definitely times when the answer to prayer is no. Mm. But I would love it if we got really serious about our prayer for particular people and just brought them just almost in desperation like these guys before God and said, Jesus, you know, here they are, you know, only you can do this, Jesus. That's what I'd love to say.
I think what's incredibly powerful about that is that not only are you bringing others before the throne and through prayer, but like you're going to be transformed in that moment as well.
Gosh,
you know, that is the new growth to experience
100%.
God's presence and to kind of discern his will through prayer.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the classic, like, and let's be honest, I'm sure we've all done it. The whole like, hey, I'll pray for you. And then you never do.
Yeah.
You know, it's become this Christian cliche.
We
say it almost as much as we say, hey, how you going? Like,
We do. Yeah. I'll pray for that. Or the good thing to say actually is I'll pray for you when you come to my mind. And then when they come to your mind, then just pray for them there.
Yes. But again, you need to do it.
You need to follow through. Yeah. But so maybe, but I think sometimes we do get a burden to pray for people. Mm. Like God puts a burden on our hearts.
Yeah,
have you ever had that experience?
Yeah,
like when you're like, oh my gosh, or someone just keeps coming to your mind or that you can't get off your mind.
Mm.
Yeah. Like just lean into that, it and pray for them. Like even if you have to just lock yourself in your room for 5 minutes and just pray until the burden lifts, do it.
That's so true, isn't it? Because like I know that I've definitely had situations where either the same person's kind of come to my mind or even like the prayer itself has come to my mind. Like, oh, I feel like I need to be praying this for someone.
Yeah.
Don't discount that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, in the moments that I have kind of stepped out and, you know, granted there are some where I haven't and, you know, you can convict me later.
no judgment, man.
But it has been like, it's been fruitful. And I think that's the whole stepping out into the discomfort, stepping out into the risk because it might be uncomfortable. The person might be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. They might go, no, actually that's not for me. Mm-hmm. Or you might fumble your way through that prayer or, you know. And that's if you pray with them.
Yeah.
But I think if you had a prompting that, hey, I need to pray for this person or I need to pray about this for this person, whatever it might be, and you just did it in the quiet of your own heart, if you took a still moment to do that, like as if God's going to be like, oh, like.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Idiot.
Yeah, wrong.
Yeah. No.
Well, you just lost your riches in heaven.
Yeah. No. So, in fact, like, quite the opposite.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Like lean into that. Yeah. And those simple steps that we can take to test out, hey, is this, like, God, is this where you're taking me? Is this the new growth?
Is this the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. Like, because you can't just, too often I've kind of assumed that I'd have the wisdom to discern then and there when something just kind of, you know, cross my desk, let's say.
Yeah.
But you don't. You've got to interact with it a little bit. You've got to take a taste, swish it around the mouth, spit it out again. Like all that kind of stuff to kind of go, is this right? Does it taste good?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to keep chowing in. Mm. That's a terrible illustration. Yes. I'm so sorry.
No, was cool. Wine? Was
I just,
wine?
You'll never know. You'll never know. No, but I just kind of kept going with it.
I just saw it as
wine tasting.
Me too. But I was like, it's new wine because it's Jesus. Oh, there you go.
There it is.
And then you said chow down. And yeah, then I was like, I took it
somewhere else.
Yeah, it's true though. I really do like that. And those steps in the towards obedience, right? Yeah. Steps towards Jesus. Yeah. Like that's a really simple way that we can live out our faith. I mean, obviously there's other ways that we can do stuff, you know, by being people of integrity, right?
Yeah.
You know, like how do we live out your faith in a way? Well, if you're gonna say it, then do it, you know, like your walk's gotta match your talk, you know.
Yeah. That unwavering.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you see in the four friends,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah,
because
have the faith.
They got up to the well, they got there. They're like, well, this crowd's big. We're not getting in. So they take him up to the roof. Yep. They're like, oh,
okay.
You still can't get in.
Yeah, there's only one way to do this, through the roof.
What did you, there was something you said. Yeah. Something, no worries.
Oh, no room, no worries.
No roof.
And make a skylight. Like they were just like, let's make a skylight here and just drop this guy down.
But that demonstrated something to their friend who was on the mat. Yeah. Like that was powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was powerful even before Jesus started the interaction, I think. Demonstrated something.
And that love and concern because I think, you know, just as you'd said before, like that a person who was paralyzed would have had very little value in that society. Mm. They couldn't contribute in any way. But the fact that these guys saw the outsider and loved them enough to bring them along, like that speaks of value.
He even
and love.
Had friends.
Yeah.
Because he would have been.
Oh, so
isolated
excluded.
From society.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, this poor person.
Yeah, must have been a nice guy.
Who knows? But even so, like, I mean, that's what we're called to do, right? And that's the hard part is to love those, even if he wasn't a nice guy, if he was unlovable.
Yeah,
you know, like far out. We still have to love them and bring them to Jesus and pray for them. Mm. And that's my growth
that's
area,
impact,
man, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, right on. Well, Rox, thanks so much for joining us for today's Big Three. It's
pleasure.
Been great having you back in this in the studio, if you can call this room a studio. But yeah, sure.
Sure.
We will.
Yeah.
Just so that everyone.
It's legitimate.
Yeah.
It's so professional,
just
guys.
Just so that everyone.
We got little headsets on and everything.
Well, Rox, thanks so much. And we'll catch you next time. All right, Jess Baker.
Matthew Willis.
Lots was said. Lots was discussed.
Yes.
Few moments of rogue, but still we kept it on track, I felt.
Yeah.
What's your standout out of this conversation?
I really like the discussion around the first question. As someone who has a personality that is very self-deprecating and my instinct is to really talk myself down and focus on the negatives, it can be really... Like it can be really tricky to get yourself out of that shame spiral. And as much as, you know, after church public confession is a wild idea, I think being someone like myself in a community of believers that are all pretending like everything's perfect and they've never done anything wrong is really damaging. And so, you know, being a bit more honest and open about, hey, we're all in this, we're all swimming in sin, but... and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like we can work towards being better, but it doesn't have to be our main focus is kind of, it does need to be acknowledged definitely. But if my main focus is my sin and how shameful that is and all that kind of stuff, then I get just so bogged down in that instead spending my time focusing on the love of God and where I can kind of strengthen that and grow in that would kind of make it a bit more productive, really.
Yeah, right on.
What did you think?
I think that whole, like that new growth piece, that like that risk-taking, uncomfortable space that we need to walk through and need to kind of constantly be walking through in some way, shape or form within our journey of faith. And I actually think that really then ties into the third question of the whole, like, how do we impact people?
Yeah.
Well, if we're stepping into new opportunities for growth and discipleship and devotion to Christ, then that is only then going to overflow into the lives of those around us who are yet to know Jesus. Like when they see our lives transformed, mm-hmm. that has transformational power in their lives.
Yeah, for sure. That like whirlpool, swimming pool analogy, yes. or GBC congregation jumping in.
Yes.
Like, it's contagious, yeah. that growth.
That and sure. I just love a good pool whirlpool. Mm. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Takes
on,
you
the
back.
11th?
Oh, on the 11th? On the 11th. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, because it is just so easy to kind of get in new routines, and routines are really helpful, mm-hmm. like those spiritual.
And you can have moments of comfort. Let's yeah. not be wrong. Yeah, it doesn't have to be uncomfortable growth all the time.
But like just wanting to kind of reflect on, okay, where are those opportunities and where's the invitation for me to step out in that? I think it's an important one to constantly be asking
for
ourselves.
Sure.
And,
sure.
you know, there are definitely seasons where I stop asking. So I probably need to get back into it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's comfortable, right? So you kind of just, that keeps going and, until you kind of pull yourself up and go, actually, there's been zero growth and I'm not impacting anyone because I'm just living my life. And where can I kind of change and move forward?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
It's all good. It's all good, my dear friend. Well, thanks so much for another jolly big three.
It was wonderful.
Was it? Did it meet the expectations that I set?
Sure. Let's ask the viewers.
Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're there at one of our online services this coming Sunday and that you snap the QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. If you're someone who's considering who Jesus might be for you, someone who's exploring the transformation that comes from Jesus, can I encourage you to look into the Alpha course that is being run at Guymie Baptist Church? Just head to our website, guymiebaptist.org.au, to register. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.